Well, we are on week number 5 of a sermon series called Friendship with God, and it's on the book of James. And if I were going to say, what has this series been about in one word, I would say obedience. About obedience to God and about the friendship that comes through that. But part of that friendship really stems from prayer and the relationship that prayer builds with God. So I just want to read again for us this passage from James, part of it at least, with an ear toward prayer. If any of you are suffering, they should pray. If any of you are happy, they should sing, which is just really like prayer, but, you know, musical, right? If any of you are sick, they should call for the elders of the church, and the elders should pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayer that comes from faith will heal the sick, for the Lord will restore them to health. And if any have sins, they will be forgiven. For this reason, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful in what it can achieve. Elijah was a person just like us, and when he prayed, it wouldn't rain. He prayed that it wouldn't rain. No rain fell for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and God sent rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Well, it is just so fitting that as a sermon series on obedience ends, that God would require from me an act of obedience. One of those acts of obedience is the fact that these are my notes for the sermon today. That's just new for me. But the other thing is that I have been feeling like God has really called me today to share a little bit more about my story with all of you. And I've hesitated to do that for a number of reasons, and I think that's why God had to flat out basically command me this week to do it. But I do, you know, just want to say, you know, that's a little vulnerable for me. So we'll just kind of put an umbrella of grace over all of this. And as I stumble over my words, you know, we'll just go together. But I believe that my story is my story. Your story might look very different. But that doesn't change the fact that my story is my story. And so into this play, this is, I think, all going to tie together in a nice bow with our scripture today. But my story is related to friendship with God, obedience, and prayer. So as I thought about it, it wasn't that crazy that God would command me to do such a thing as talk about my story. I haven't hidden the fact that I didn't want to be a pastor. Just before I forget to say it at the end, that's since changed. I love being a pastor, and there's nothing I'd rather do. But God had to change my heart. When I was in college, I felt like you know, there were people who were affirming a call in me. No. But I didn't want it. I didn't want to be anywhere near what, you know, they were talking about. But after college, it became just clearer in my heart that God was really calling me to pastoral ministry. And I made lots of excuses, and thankfully I had a wife who was in medical school and residency working 80 hours a week. It was a really easy excuse to just be like, oh, it's just crazy to think about leaving this. I was an engineer, many of you know, for about 10 years, you know, leaving this great job as an engineer to become a pastor. You know, I'm not going to be doing the math and programming and all the things that I know how to do and was trained to do. It's crazy, right? And so it was very easy to kind of use her as an excuse. But when she finished residency, and many years, 7 or 8 years of med school residency, I was just out of excuses. And so in the summer after she finished her residency, I just really more out of obedience than a desire to be a pastor. I quit my job and went to seminary. It was at seminary, though, that I encountered the writings of John Wesley. And I learned the history of the Methodist movement. And as I learned that history, I saw here is There's this awakening that happens across Great Britain. It happens in the Americas with George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards, and then in England with the Wesleys. And I just said to myself, this is not like anything I've seen. And so I was stewing on that. And at the same time, I started reading John Wesley. I started reading his sermons. And I found this faith. There are 40 John Wesley sermons that are supposed to make up the faith that Methodists proclaim. And I felt like I had heard none of it in my entire life. It was all brand new to me. And what was worse is that as I read it, I felt like they were describing something that I had not experienced. And, you know, if you want to know what that is, you can, like, go listen to, like, the last 2 years of my sermons online. But this kind of discontent started stirring in me. At the same time, I was stalled in this process to become a pastor. I was blaming other people for not doing their jobs because they didn't, you know, they didn't do their jobs to advance me along the process. But I was frustrated with that. And also, I had sin in my life. There were things that I seemed like I couldn't overcome. And I, with all of that, I just said to myself, I don't really think I'm not the right person to do this. I'm not the right person to be a pastor. I don't believe, like, I haven't experienced what I'm supposed to preach as a Methodist. Like, I've got this sin in my life. I don't really even want to do this. And so, you know, I just started praying. I just said, God, if this is what you want, I'm going to need more of your love and power in my life. Because I can't do this. And, you know, at some point in praying for that, God convicted my heart that, you know, David, you're blaming these people for stalling the process. But if you really wanted to be obedient, you'd go call every phone you could. You'd knock on every door. You'd stand outside their homes. You would make it happen to get the process rolling again. And I said, okay, God, you're right. And so that day when I realized that, I picked up the phone and I had to call like 3 people. Every single person picked up their phone. Every single person said, yeah, let's move forward. And you know, that felt good. There was a weight that lifted off of me. Then I went to sleep. And I woke up the next morning. And as I woke up, the world was different. Different. I felt the presence of God in my bedroom like I have never felt before. It was as if God was there. I felt the Spirit in my chest like a fire. I felt like, just as I can move my hand right now, I don't think hand move. I just move my hand. That's what prayer became for me. It's just like another appendage appeared, and I could move it. And suddenly I'm praying like I've never prayed before. And maybe the most profound thing was that temptation that I felt, the sin that I had carried, it was like it was far away from me. You know, the Bible says, right, as far as the east is from the west. That was not just theological language. That was my experience. And so these sins that I had carried, that I didn't just know in my head they were forgiven. I felt like they were just gone. And the temptations that had plagued me, they were like there on like the far horizon. I could just like, didn't require anything to overcome them. Now, of course, you know, that's not to say that I've been perfected. It's just to say that the things that plagued me so much were no longer a struggle because Christ had given me victory. And so I'm trying to put my world back together, you know, and really that's been the story of the past several years, is trying to figure out what happened to me. And what I found is that in the Methodist faith, I have the story of exactly what happened to me. And that, so I said, you know, as far as the east is from the west, you know, those scriptures became alive for me. That was the entirety of scripture. I read the New Testament. And it wasn't just God's word in kind of an intellectual way. It was God speaking to me. It was God, it was authors like Paul, John, Peter. They are not just speaking theological truths, they're describing my experience. And so suddenly God's word is life for me, and it's my guide, and John Wesley is my interpreter and my teacher. And so, you know, one of the reasons I think God wanted me to share this story with you this morning is that I think that sometimes, you know, we experience spiritual growth as a slow thing. And I think that's the way it is normally. I think that, you know, we are formed into the image of Christ. We do our disciplines. We take a step at a time, a step of faithfulness. But just because spiritual growth is normally slow does not that mean that it is necessarily slow. It doesn't mean that God won't do it fast if God wants to do it fast. And maybe something about my desperation at the time and something about, you know, praying for more of God's power and love in my life. I don't know. You can't put it in a test tube and shake it up and get out the same result. But God did it for me. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, I came across Alpha. And here is a course, a 10-week, a long-week introduction to the Christian faith, that describes, like nothing else I've ever seen, my experience of the Christian life. And Alpha, it's just the teaching's so solid and trustworthy. And then about, you know, most of the way through the course, near the end, there's a teaching on the question, does God heal today? And that blew my mind, because I realized that I was very comfortable with the idea of God doing something fast in my own heart. But, you know, in here. But I wasn't so comfortable with the idea of God doing something fast out there. And yet here before me were stories after stories of people who I thought were otherwise very trustworthy, describing their experience of God, you know, instantly in some cases, healing people. And I realized that as I was preparing for this and reading the passage, that same thing about spiritual growth applies maybe to healing. Normally, when we pray for people to be healed, it's a slow thing, right? We pray for them in the hospital, they get better one step at a time. And we thank God for that. You know, my wife is a physician. Like, I really believe in modern medicine, right? But at the same time, I believe all healing is from God. And if God's going to do it slow, then maybe sometimes God will do it fast. It's not that much of a leap. And so with Alpha, you know, we started just after that, we started taking some steps of faith to just say, you know what, maybe more is possible than I realized. And so we started praying just in the tiniest ways for sick folks, like, but actually thinking that maybe God would do something. Because if I'm honest, I never prayed for anyone and actually thought God would do something. I just, you know, it was the prayer was mostly for the hearer. Mostly for the person I was praying for. It wasn't really for God. And so one time last August, Katie had about 2 weeks of migraines, like maybe, you know, 3 or 4 a week at a minimum. And she was on, she was taking, you know, every type of over-the-counter drug you could take, you know, naproxen, Tylenol, ibuprofen, whatever the case may be. She was taking preventative prescription medicine, and then she was taking a medicine for when she actually got the migraine to try to get rid of it, and none of it was working. And so literally, I mean, this is like, I don't want to glamorize this, this is as much faith I have. After we try everything in the world, say, you know, okay, we should pray for it. And so, you know, I remember we were just sitting in our chairs, and I just got up, and I just put my hands on her head, and I don't want to over-spiritualize this, but I just felt like I could see kind of in the spirit a little bit, like, where to put my hands and where to pray. And so I just prayed for maybe a minute, and, you know, she kind of had this peace come over, and I'm like, oh, that's nice. She felt like the prayer was nice, you know? And then a couple minutes later, she's like, I think the headache might be going away. And within a half hour, the headache was completely gone. And then she didn't have another migraine for 2 months. And since then, you know, there's nothing like seeing God kind of undeniably answer a prayer. There's nothing like seeing God undeniably answer a prayer to raise your faith for prayer. And so I feel like this is part of the explanation of why Pastor David is so weird. And so I just started laying, this is dead. So really I just started laying hands on it and it moved. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's not like it's been, you know, hundreds of people have received miraculous healing. But then again, you know, off the top of my head, I can think of about 10 who there have been pretty dramatic things, you know, people with chronic neck and back pain who have found relief. You know, someone with dreams that had been plaguing them that went away. There, you know, someone in the hospital that, you know, seemed to miraculously recover. There's just these things happening. And so, I think the thing that I just wanted to say is, you know, okay, so like, what can we expect from prayer? And I think the answer is, at a minimum, more than we expect right now. God is living and active. Jesus continues to save. Jesus continues to heal. Jesus continues to set captives free. And, you know, again, it's not like I haven't had disappointments in prayer. I had my mentor die this year very suddenly, and I prayed for him, and he died. But I refuse to let my defeats negate the things that I've seen God do. And I refuse to let my defeats form my theology of what God does and doesn't do. And, you know, I have no idea how this is coming across to all of you, but I imagine that some of you at least will take this message, you might go home and you'll be like, well, that was pretty weird. And or maybe you'll say, well, he's the pastor. Just a person like you. 4 years ago, I was typing on my computer at a desk. And James, I think he encounters the same thing. You know, he says just very clearly, prayer that comes from faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will restore them to health. And I don't think he said that because that was something they thought would encourage them. I think he said it because it was their experience. And just in case they're saying, okay, but you're James, you're like the apostle, you know, right? He says, you know, Elijah, prayer warrior of the Bible. Elijah, he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and for 3 years it didn't rain, then he prayed again, and it rained. He didn't tell the story about the time that Elijah was in a confrontation with the prophets of Baal, and he takes their, he takes his offering and soaks it with water just to prove that he's got no tricks up his sleeves. And then he says, God, let, you know, rain fire down from heaven and consume this offering. And the entire offering was consumed with fire that came down from heaven at the prayer of Elijah. Elijah was, and James says, Elijah, that Elijah who did these things, he was just a person. He was just like you. This isn't something for, you know, the great holy people among us. This is something for all of the saints of God. And I think God just wants us to have, you know, Jesus says, just a mustard seed of faith can move mountains. And so I pray that your faith would just be stirred today to maybe step out in a way that you haven't. Just to make God even like an option of the things that you go to as you have your health problems. Maybe to, or if you do that all right, to just say, you know what, maybe I'll just pray first. And I'm not there yet even, but I'm trying to be. And, you know, this is my story, but, and your story doesn't have to look like my story. But what I want you to know is that maybe God isn't done with your story. Maybe there is more than you realize. Maybe there is more than you've kind of grown comfortable in. And I believe that God wants to wake us up to a greater and greater degree. And I feel like I am on an adventure. You know, I praise God. I am not the pastor that has burned out. I'm not the pastor who's standing before you today saying I have to quit. Because I feel like I'm on the adventure of a lifetime. And I'm just beginning. And I just consider it a privilege to be able to lead the adventure that we are all on together. So, my brothers and sisters, let's pray, and then we'll sing together. I think the song that, if I had a theme song in the Methodist hymnal, would be "And Can It Be?" And so we're going to sing that. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you are the transformer of lives. Jesus, that you continue to save, that you continue to set the captives free, that you continue to heal. And God, we can't right now, I feel like within the context of this service, pray for everyone who needs healing, but, and I'm going to be available later, but God, we do pray for your healing for this congregation, that anyone who just feels right now like they need your healing, we just say, yes, Lord, I will. And they would just, anyone who feels that they need more of your love and power would just say, yes, Lord, I want that. And that anyone who is in captivity to sin would say, Jesus, would you set me free? And we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.